All right. Good evening. If I can have several men help me. If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Thank you. See if I can split these things up somehow. There we go. Thank you and thank you, gentlemen. Evan, I need one of those, sorry. I don't really need it, but I'm going to take it. Thank you. All right. Isaac, Amy's already done it. Where I'm from, Isaac, they would say, are you born in a barn? It wasn't Isaac's fault, by the way. Shut the door, that's what that means. All right, we need a few more notes. Are we getting low? My wife needs notes. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 7 if you're there, please. And let's all stand together. If you were here this morning's message was intense. This morning's message is in your face. Tonight will be the extreme opposite. It will take longer than we're a little late, and I'm not sure why we're late, but we won't get done at 7, but it'll be close. Tonight will not be heavy, will not be hard. I'm just going to talk about a subject. So I have a question for you. Have you learned someplace in your life this discipline? And it's something that you need to learn. And I will say this, I have learned it well, but I don't always practice it. So you, for all of you in the room, this is something you need to learn. Here it is. Are you guys ready? Somebody comes, you're in a conversation with someone that's not close to you, and they ask you a question. Are you a conservative? What is the discipline? Does anybody know? Never answer the question. Ask them what? What do you mean by a conservative? I had a pastor, he's with the Lord now, he pastored Greater Faith in Waukegan. One night we were discussing, and he was, because of his history, background, personality, etc., this is back in the dark ages, he was a Hillary fan. And I just said, well, you know, I couldn't vote for Hillary or Bill or any of those folks. Though I will say I'd rather have Bill Clinton than the last two presidents. Don't get mad at me, it's just personal opinion. But anyhow, he looked at me, and I said, and then I just said something. I said, you know I am a conservative. I still remember his response. He's in a hospital bed when he said it. He looked at me and says, Ralph, you're not a conservative. Because he defined a conservative as someone that doesn't like people of African-American descent, a racist. So here you got a problem in America. You have a whole group of conservatives. And there are some idiots, let's be honest, yes. But on the whole, it has nothing to do with anything. We're about morality, conservative values, protecting our country, all of that stuff. But you say the word conservative, they think, I'm going to ask you, do you understand the discipline? When somebody asks you this question, Cliff, are you a Calvinist? Your reply would be, what do you mean by a Calvinist? Never say yes or no. You're dead meat. Or my favorite. This is for Joseph. Joseph, there used to be a little Bible college. Jim Vineyard was the president. You know that name? Vaguely. He was from Oklahoma. Criminal, the whole mess. I used to get missionaries come to Lifegate Baptist Church when I pastored in St. Louis, and I would get their prayer letter. Every single one of them made this statement. I'm not a Calvinist. And literally everyone, so that means somebody at the top didn't know the word. I'm not a Calvinist, or an Arminian. And I would always say, yes, I'm not from Georgia, I'm not from Azerbaijan, I'm not from Ossetia, and they would go. So be very careful answering questions. And be very careful when you're having conversations with people that you're actually having the conversation, not having the conversation. Now, I say all that, why? I try to practice that, and I don't always do it. And every time I don't do it, Tim, I regret it. Because, so, you know what the question is tonight? We're just going to introduce. What's an apostle? Do we have apostles in our church? Yeah, what do you mean by an apostle? That's where you have to go. Yes. Do we have people old enough to be an apostle? Well, Mike's pretty close. No. All right, I'm going to get in trouble. Sorry, Mike. You're not even close. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And by the way, folks, I'm not going to explain any of this. All of this comes from an analogy from the first century. He says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He is combining two things, the ascension of Christ with a victory march in the Roman world, Greco-Roman world, where the person, look at me everybody, when Caesar Augustus won the great battle against the Gauls in 54-55 BC, he came back to Rome and he had a triumph. Look at me. He led captivity captive. He didn't free anybody. And Vicingenerix, he brought back and strangled in front of the people, which was the Gaulish leader. Jesus, when he ascended back to the Father, led captivity captive. And then from the booty, so to speak, his victory at the cross, he gives gifts unto the church. That's the story. Don't get led astray by silliness. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is he but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is the ascension and his gifting of the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Well, he tells us, for the perfecting, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You're now introduced to a phrase that if you don't know what you're talking about, you'll get in big trouble. Everybody look at me. Do we have apostles in our church? The answer would be, what do you? Do we have prophets in this church? Now, for all of you Big B Baptists, do we have evangelists? By the way, how many times is the word evangelist, euangelistes, mentioned in the New Testament? Like 3 or 4 times. Man, we have whole offices. I remember I knew what an evangelist was until I read the New Testament. I'll tell you what an evangelist is. Are you ready? Church planner, missionary. That's an evangelist. One that brings the good news at the beginning. What's a pastor? You know what he calls me? Now, none of you are going to get this. Al pastor. Not el pastor. He calls me al pastor. That's a kind of pork meat. I love you. You know that, don't you? All right. Let's pray, and we will look at these texts tonight. We'll just introduce. But get the trick, everybody. Don't answer questions until you discern what somebody is asking. It'll get you in big trouble every time. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, at the meal for my wife's mother's funeral, I sat across the table from a broadly conceived Christian Reform pastor. Well-educated, did an excellent job at the funeral. Tom, you were there, did a nice job, decent man. I sat right across from him because I figured he didn't want to talk to people about their fingernails. And I knew that if he's a guy that's educated, he's going to want to talk about things. So here's our problem. I know his theology. I know his background. He doesn't know me. So I'm going to ask you all a question. If he asked me, are you a dispensationalist? Do you understand? If you're a Christian Reform, you almost believe dispensationalists are not saved. Do you know why? Because a Reformed from a Christian Reform background, meaning he's Dutch. His name was Dutch. That's his heritage. The only thing they know about dispensationalism is dispensationalism teaches multiple ways of salvation. Do we teach multiple ways of salvation? That is a pure, unadulterated heresy. It doesn't get more heretical. What's my point? If I'm going to have a conversation, you have to get past words. So tonight, we're going to look at the term apostles. We're just going to introduce it. But understand, friend, when you talk about the word apostle, people are going to play games. Here are the games they're going to play. Have you ever walked to somebody and they told you they were an apostle? How about a prophet? You know, for me, a biblical prophet is someone like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, someone whom God revealed divine truth, and that person speaks divine truth. I listened to a prophet this week in a church nearby here. It was a woman. She was doing her prophecy, and it was the first Sunday of the year, and this was her prophecy. This is your year. And she kept saying it. She said, I'm making fun of it. Robert, this is your year. Louis, sorry, this isn't your year. Let's move on. And she went around the room. That was her prophecy. What do you call that? Silliness. So when you ask questions, you have to come down to what do we mean? So in your notes, the title, I call it this, Apostles in the what? New Testament. Next week, I will read a passage that I got off the internet, and I just Googled, what is an apostle? I got three articles. None of them had anything to do with the Bible. Here is somebody's quote. If you're apostolic, new and innovative things grab your attention. They don't scare you, but rather excite you. Going new places, facing new challenges, and trying new things get you up in the morning. So I'm thinking that's Apostle Paul when he was getting beaten by rods. That's exciting. Friend, this is the kind of drivel that people get in churches, and the average person doesn't know what an apostle is. So we're going to try to introduce basic ideas very simply tonight, what I'm going to try to do. All of this comes out of the Christian experience of 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. He says, for I suppose I was not one little bit, behind the very chiefest apostles, which a better way of saying that is the super apostles, and I even paraphrase it worse, the super duper apostles. Verse 13, he tells us about those super duper apostles. For such are what? They're false apostles. It even has the word, such as these, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Chapter 12, verse 11, I have become a fool in glorying or bragging or boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. That same phrase again. Only found two times right here, those two passages. The super apostles. Though I be nothing, and then he makes the statement, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, we're going to go a lot further down the road. This is just introduction, friend. We are introduced in this text to several simple ideas. First of all, apostles of Christ. Rhonda here gets ahead of herself. But Rhonda, even that is a trick. Some of you didn't hear what Rhonda said. You know, the word apostle can also mean like a messenger. It actually always deals with being a representative messenger. Otherwise, an apostle is somebody will come to it. Jesus chose this person, look at me, to deliver a message. So do we have apostles? Yeah, but see, your problem, what you're saying, Rhonda, you're right, but it'll take you in places you don't want to go because people say, well, we're not that kind of an apostle. Then what kind are you? Then they have a hard time answering because they're talking about language. We're just going to look at this, and then we're going to move on to look at two texts. The very chiefest apostles. That's only found two times in the Bible, and I say those are the super apostles. Most new translations say that. It's really an emphasis in the King James. It emphasizes the very chiefest, meaning those that surpass even Peter and John and Paul, at least in their own mind. The super duper apostles. which I say in your notes, according to 2 Corinthians 11:13, which are false apostles. And the word false apostle, pseudo apostolos, is found exactly one time, and that's in this text. They're false apostles. Fake apostles transforming themselves into true apostles. We also learn about signs of an apostle. We'll talk about this later. But the signs of an apostle. Everyone look at me. Let's ask a simple question. Let's see here. We have a sailor right here. We have another sailor over here. You walk into a place and you see somebody with a bird on their collar. What are they? A pirate. I know why you're not in the United States Navy anymore. This service has gotten out of control here, folks. Have you been hanging out with Carly? I think you've been saving that. So let's ask this. You meet somebody with that bird, and then you meet somebody with a little gold bar. What's the gold bar? You don't know. What's the gold bar? What kind? Lieutenant? What's the silver bar? Are you guys still sailors in this room? There's a reason they're retired. Yes, gold is ensign, silver, and then two silver bars is a lieutenant. And then there's a lieutenant commander, which I think is a silver, like, what is it, Joseph? What do you call that?
Lieutenant commander is the gold oak leaf.
Oh, it's the gold oak leaf. And then what do you happen when you become commander?
I have a silver oak leaf.
You have a silver oak leaf. Can I ask you what those are? Those are signs of your rank. If you have the signs of an apostle, what's the signs of an apostle? There's something that, look at me, distinguish you or differentiate you from someone else. Is that fair? You guys don't even, I can't believe my retired sailors are confused. Pirate. We are going to have a time of confession right after the end of this service. In your notes. You know, we're never getting this service back. I can see this already. Carly, what did you do to people tonight? Crows. I'm not going to say crow. All right. Signs of an apostle simply do this. The signs of an apostle differentiate the true apostles from the false apostles. Is that fair? That's the reason you have the sign. It can also differentiate the apostle from the non-apostle. So let me just say this. In the New Testament era, first century, if someone manifests the signs of an apostle, that differentiated that person from the non-apostle, and it also differentiated them from the false apostle. Not everybody had the signs of an apostle. You say, how many had it? A handful. Very small group. What we're going to do now, and I just wanted you to catch that. We'll come back to some of this down the road. Let's begin at the beginning with questions like this. What is an apostle? Specifically, what is a New Testament apostle? And then thirdly, because people are going to... Friend, can I say this? You saw the definition. The person that wrote this was being sincere. He or she thinks this. If you're apostolic, you just catch the newest wave, the newest way, whatever's new. But this has nothing to do with Christianity. But if you fall into the trap, you don't believe in apostles? Let me ask you this. Do you believe in apostles? Of course. Do you think I'm an apostle? No, not in any sense like this. So we're going to look real quickly, and then this will help you. It will irritate people, but it will help you. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 3. The Greek is put here on purpose. It says he, meaning Jesus, goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him. That one word is all of that. He calls to him. It's kaleo plus pros, come, you know, coming to him. Calls to him. And then it has this beautiful phrase. They don't make the choice. He does. Whom he, what? Yes, he's the one that chooses who he wants to be his apostles. It says, and they came unto him. And he ordained how many?
12.
That they should be with him. and that he might send them forth to preach. Friend, everyone look at me. Apostolos is the noun. Apostello is the verb. Mark doesn't use the noun, but Mark uses the verb, which means the word apostolos is a word that, and we'll get to it in a minute, to send somebody forth as an official messenger or representative. The verb means to send somebody out or send somebody forth. Pretty straightforward. We continue. So he was going to send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons, would be the better word. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed, and I never have been able to pronounce that word, which is the sons of thunder. And I don't know what that means. By the way, either when you give someone a nickname, it either means that or it means the opposite of that usually. You know, nicknames usually have either that, you call somebody Jamie Vanderwalker. What did I call her? Shorty. At 5'11" and a half, she was a very short woman. I called her Shorty. So normally, either John and James were people that were explosive or people that weren't. You had to figure it. I don't know that we know. But that was their nickname. He goes on to say, John the brother, let's see here. Verse 18, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. And then in Matthew and Mark, you have the same exact words. Everybody look up here. Did you hear the same exact words? Matthew and Mark calls him Simon the Canaanite, which is from Aramaic. It's going to be different in Luke and in Acts. Luke in Acts calls him Simon Zelotes because Luke didn't read Greek, Hebrew or Aramaic. He only was a Greek speaker. Luke uses a different phrase, and both words mean what? He was Simon the Zealot, or if you want to translate that from Greek into English, he was Simon the Terrorist. Because the Zealots in a few decades were going to be the people that caused the Jewish revolt by assassinating people, including Roman officers and high people in Jewish people, and they assassinated them, and the Zealots caused the revolt under Nero from 64. It got over totally in 73 with the fall of Masada. One of Jesus' followers got saved from a background of being what we would call a terrorist. It's just that simple. Now, what's funny is one of them was a tax collector. And tax collectors were like the compromisers that worked with Rome. I don't know what these two guys talked about, but I would think Matthew and Simon would look at each other and say, I'm not sure I like you, for quite some time. All right, Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. So here are some of the characteristics, and they're found in the text. First of all, an apostle is someone called by Christ. Obviously. Secondly, someone called by name. So, individually. I did not put this in your notes. You might want to write this down, and this is probably just as important. We'll come to this in Acts chapter 1 in future weeks. They were also someone called during Jesus' earthly ministry. So when I hear somebody say, I'm an apostle, please look at me. When I hear someone say, I'm an apostle, it kind of bothers me because, you know, since the beginning, all Christians have believed there was the Lord, of course, that's, you know, he's in a separate category, and he chose 12 people, and however we balance out a few others, James, Matthias, Paul, whatever, but a very small group, he chose, look at here, he chose them himself, and most of them were chosen during his earthly ministry. So somebody says, I am an apostle. How old are you? But see, we're playing games because we're trying to play a little game. And you say, I don't care about this. Now let me just say this. Jen Rush, Sparky, Carly, Emily's not in here, my daughter. Every teacher in our school, 1/3 to 1/2 of the students, believe this kind of nonsense because their churches do. Did you all just hear me? Almost every church in this area is into this day and age. They have apostles, they have prophets. And you're like, wait a minute, apostles, a specific guy, they had specific jobs. Because everybody wants to walk in the miraculous, whatever that means. Let's keep reading. So, called by Christ, called by name individually, called during his earthly ministry, called according to his will, obviously. Next page. And friend, all of these are just obvious statements right from the text. There's nothing to debate about this. They are ordained, are appointed by Jesus. Ordained there simply means he's the one, he called them, he chose them, he appointed them or ordained them for the work they were going to do. Next, they were limited by Jesus to 12. Now, part of the debate and the questions are how many more were there? And people get into all kinds of things. We'll talk about that in the future. By the way, everyone look at me. Here's the no debate. There were 12 people chosen. One of them betrayed Christ. I'm not going to play the Baptist game that Matthias was the wrong choice. I think Matthias was the right choice, Acts chapter 1. There's one or two, maybe three or four other people called an apostle. The main two is the 11, Matthias, Paul, and the Lord Jesus' half-brother James. That's it. There's two or three others that maybe are called apostles, but they're really associates of the apostles, like Luke, Barnabas, Timothy, some of those. That's it. Can I ask you, are you part of the 12? So here's the problem. Remember what we began with. Do you believe in apostles? Your question? What do you mean by an apostle? Well, the apostles is a very small, limited group. And they were all called either during Jesus' ministry, we're not going to talk about it tonight, or Paul is the guy that's the outlier. But even that, look at me, when we get done with that, some of you for the first time in your adult life will see something you have never seen that's in the Bible. Paul was not an outlier totally. Because according to his own testimony, Paul was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, which is part of the bottom part of modern-day Turkey along the coast, the bend of the coast. But my friend Paul says directly, I was brought up in Jerusalem. Did you all just hear that? And he wasn't brought up in Jerusalem after Jesus, during Jesus' time. So there was no. Have you ever asked yourself this simple question? How did Paul persecute the church? Because he was brought up during this time. He hated this whole Christian thing. So he's not exactly a total outlier like Jesus appeared to Joseph Smith with magic glasses. None of that foolishness. He is an outlier. All right. So they were ordained or appointed by Jesus or by the Lord. They were limited by Jesus to 12, in this group anyhow. They were called, and this is very important, to be with him. You see, an apostle, according to Acts chapter 1, which we'll do in the future, an apostle had to be someone that spent the time from the very beginning of John the Baptist to the very end, the resurrection. They had to spend all of that time with Jesus, and they had to see the resurrected Lord. I'll come back to Paul. Look at me. I'll come back to Paul in future weeks. But I do not think Paul is widely outside of that. Paul was around all of this. Remember, Jerusalem wasn't a city of a million people. Or 10 million people. Jerusalem was a town smaller than Waukegan. You can't do the things that Jesus did without everybody knowing who he was. Paul grew up around all of this. Paul rejected it all until the Lord saved him. So even though he didn't spend time with Christ, he still falls into the broad category. All right. So, ordained and appointed by the Lord, limited by Jesus to 12, and called to be with him. That's when he taught them. Next, called to represent Jesus. Called to represent Jesus. The two Greek words, apostolos, we get apostle from it, simply means one sent forth or sent out, always as an official representative. The verb can also be used, apostello, which means to send forth or to send out. Now I'm going to ask a question. Do we have apostles in this church? But I haven't narrowed it down enough. Do we have apostles of Christ like this? The answer would be no. Do we have apostles? Well, we'll come to it in future weeks. Two or three times the word apostolos is used of, Rhonda, I hate you, messengers from a local church. Do we have an apostle? Look at me. Let me ask you, do we have someone who represents Lake County Baptist Church around the world? His official name is Pastor Dada. His official title, do you remember when we brought him on board? He is our pastor of, I'm being specific, not missions, mission. Because he officially represents the mission of this church around the world. Do you got that? But is he an apostle like this? Was he chosen? No. He's just somebody we send out to accomplish. By the way, someday when Cliff graduates from college or seminary, we're gonna boot him. No, we're gonna send him out too. It's a little scarier sending him out, but we're gonna do it. All right, let's keep going. The jokes really get bad with Cliff, but anyhow. They were called, ordained, and empowered uniquely. These men are not the normal pastor. Friend, I'm just a pastor. You say, just. That's what I do. I'm you, you're me, we're just Christians. Yes, I have training. Yes, I all of that and work and calling and all. But I am not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I have never received divine revelation except in the Bible. My job is to preach the word. That's what the Bible commands pastors to do. Feed the sheep, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That's my job. My job is not to give you apostolic revelation, perform miracles. That was for the first century in the establishing of the church, which we'll come to much later. Now let's read the second passage. So, by the way, I know this is boring, isn't it? Look at me. Do we have apostles? What's your question? What do you mean by an apostle? If you're asking, do we have anybody in our church that was personally chosen by Jesus during his earthly ministry, I think the answer is obviously no. Luke chapter 6, again, a similar event. Came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, uses a different word here, he called unto him his disciples. Interesting, that is a word that has the word phoné, the sound. I mean, he's actually like this. Hey, guys, come over here. You know, calling them to him. And mathetas, the plural, is the word for disciples. So it says he called unto him his disciples. These were people that I think were mostly already believers. People that he had been teaching, training, and those sorts of things. And when he calls his disciples to him, more than 12, by the way, he of them chose, so you get the word for choosing, from op alton. He chooses out of this group of disciples, people that were already believers, at least as far as they understood the gospel, and following Christ and learning from Christ. So out of this group of people, he chooses this 12. And yes, he chose one that was a non-believer intentionally. So he chose 12. And then it also says, whom also he named. So this, out of the group of disciples, he chose 12 and he gave them a separate name, apostles, because they were going to be his official delegates, the people that he chose for specific purposes. Interesting, apostolos, which is the first word, apostles, and the word name is the word we get name from. Onomasin, I mean, it is the word literally, he named them apostles, and then it gives you their names. First one was Simon, which is named Petron. Peter, whom he also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and then you got this guy, but Luke doesn't call him a Canaanite. It's not Canaanite from the land of Canaan, it's just an Aramaic word that means zealot. Luke, in both Luke 6 and in Acts 1, calls him Simon, that is called Zelotes, the zealot, if you prefer, the terrorist, the revolutionary, the one that's going to cause the great civil war. So Luke, in similar ways, tells us this. These men were chosen by the Lord. Secondly, they were chosen from among his disciples. Thirdly, they were chosen by name. And lastly, they were chosen as 12. Everybody look at me and we're finished. Is this easy so far? Yes or no? By the way, some of this I used to never want to do, but I now cannot assume anything about anything. Churches that were Bible-believing Baptist churches in the past, they have no biblical knowledge. Therefore, they go all directions. Here, look at me. If you ask, do we have apostles? What do you mean? If you mean, look at me, New Testament apostles, the answer is absolutely not. Now, if you mean the writing of the New Testament, called the New Testament, the books which are written primarily by apostles or people associated, then we have, are you ready? The apostles' doctrine or teaching. We have no apostles. We have nobody that old. And by the way, the last one of those is a guy named John. He died somewhere in the 90s under Domitian. He was persecuted by Domitian, which was, he was the ruler, the emperor from what, 81, let's see, 81 to 96. That's the last apostle. By the way, they're all dead. We'll pick up here next week. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name.